This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So if you think back to 2010, you'll remember a lot of discussion about votes relative to Obamacare. We can vote on it now and read about it and figure out what it says later. And obviously, that was the talk then, and a lot of folks started looking at it and trying to figure out what it was. And when they did figure out pieces and parts of it, they didn't like it very much, and a lot of it didn't actually survive legislative scrutiny, and it changed. And I was kind of curious, where do we stand today? Dr. Peter Earle joins us. He's a senior economist at the American Institute for Economic Research. Pete, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
So, Pete, where are we with what was then called Obamacare, now called the Affordable Care Act? There were a lot of promises made. It was going to save money. I mean, it was like the panacea solution for a whole lot of things. And I'm just kind of curious, where do we stand today?
Sure. I mean, it's a good question. And actually, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. It seems like it would have been a good time to look at it after COVID, but I think we were all distracted at that time. But even so, we now have 13 years, so I think we can draw some definitive conclusions. And what we can say is that all the people who were called everything from worrywarts and fascists and racists and everything when the bill was passed for predicting that it would raise costs and not do any of its things that were promised, all those people are absolutely right. We now have the information. In fact, over the last 13 years, the price of family coverage for healthcare has increased 80%. We've seen the total cost for a family of four now exceed $30,000 a year. It was about $18,000 a year when Obamacare was passed. Deductibles have increased over 50%. I mean, I could go down a list of things which have been absolutely disastrous for Americans. And that would be even, this is if we don't even count all of this on top of inflation. Even if it weren't for inflation, these would be devastating increases in cost.
So when we look at this program in comparison, contrast to conventional insurance, where does it stand?
Right. Well, I mean, one of the things that's happened is that the prices have, so in the last 4 years, certainly we've seen with insurance and because of COVID, you know, regular insurance prices have risen as much. But I mean, I think that private insurance plans have been dragged down a little bit by Obamacare too. And on top of that, we've seen that that when you have costs rising for certain plans, others rise alongside it, because why would they give away, you know, what, it's an arbitrage opportunity essentially.
Right.
So I mean, one of the things it did was Obamacare sought to bring a lot of people into an insurance plan, so that the idea was that if you force people to pay, you're going to get a lot more people and you can spread the costs out over more people. But the fact is that the private insurance market has now had to basically what they had to do is they had to force them to keep people from turning people away based on their health status. So what that means is that basically that has forced a lot of people to basically forego coverage until they get sick. And preventative care is a lot cheaper than, you know, responsive care to injuries. And as a result, it means that insurance markets for, you know, healthy, low-cost patients, have been basically devastated to offset the cost of people who come in only when, they're in serious trouble or when they're injured. So, I mean, it's been damage across the board. I guess that's the short answer.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at uncompensated care numbers, people going into the ER that are uninsured, and you're having to, provide that, and because of EMTALA, you can't turn them away, you have to treat them. Those numbers have been going up and up every 3 to 4 years as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what we've done is it's sort of driven people to a point where they now seek to avoid it. Even before we had the massive inflation of the last 4 years, which has been, one of the areas I cover here at AIR is inflation and monetary policy. Even before that, these prices were rising. It's not surprising that now people will basically their first contact with you know, medical professionals is usually out the back of an ambulance, even for, you know, a bad cough. It's driven costs up in a way that people are now avoiding care until they're at the breaking point. And what that does is it drives costs astronomically higher.
So the individual mandate provision, yep, that was probably one of the most heated conversations about what was originally called Obamacare, where does, right, that stand today?
Well, my understanding is that it's still out there, although I think a lot of firms have gone out to offer replacements for it. I haven't kept up with that particular part of it, but what I can say for sure is that the law originally required basically anybody at or below 138% of the poverty level eligible for, it was basically a Medicaid expansion. And there was a study not too long ago that said that basically they compared patients in Oregon who were, they basically took a random selection of the expanded Medicaid patients and a random selection of uninsured people. So people who were under the mandate and people who either chose not to or were, you know, exempt from it or whatever. And basically, they found no significant improvements in the latter group than the former. In fact, there's also recent evidence that shows that actually the and this probably has to do with the pandemic, but it's worth mentioning, the life expectancy of Americans is now shorter than it was before Obamacare. So in comparable developed countries, Americans now live shorter than they do in most other countries, even those which have similarly collectivist or quasi-collectivist health system.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So, you know, this was like kind of a precursor to this notion of equity, right?
Yes.
Although it wasn't the term of the day. Passing grade or no?
It's so funny you mention that, because I was reading a few days ago a sort of a glowing report on Obamacare 10 years later, and they said it's improved equity for everyone. But here's the thing: is who says that means a step up? If you drag everybody down to a lower level, that's equity. So, I mean, a passing grade, absolutely not. I mean, it's been a disaster. It's harder now to get the care you need than it was before Obamacare. The only winners have really been the big insurance companies. And, deductibles have increased over 50% in the last 11 years. So, I mean, it's hard to find any way other than, you know, maybe improving Barack Obama's standing in certain minds that this has been a success. It's been an abject failure. And worse yet, it's getting harder and harder to get rid of. It's getting harder and harder to repeal because more people are getting entrenched in it. So it's got all the features that Reagan told us were detestable about government programs.
You said in an article that I read that there is a curious lack of motivation among intelligentsia in much of the media and virtually all of academia to point out how expensive the ACA has made healthcare for U.S. citizens.
Yep.
Now, what's interesting about that statement, not too long ago, Trump was questioned about Obamacare, and Democrats have made a lot of fun of this, and I don't really understand why, because they asked him, do you have a plan? And he said, no. He goes, I have several concepts. And they thought that was kind of a ridiculous statement, but if you don't have all of the information and you don't have the programmatic data and the cost thereof, which most people don't,
right,
it can be nothing but a concept, because you got to be able to plug all of those things in, right?
Yeah. I mean, that was actually
so I just
a
wanted
very
to get your
answer.
I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah. I think that was a very thoughtful answer. And it's the answer that somebody would give who is still reviewing the facts or wants to bring, you know, I mean, the left always makes a big deal about their experts. You know, that's what I would say if I didn't have all the facts yet and I wanted to review various courses of action. I have some concepts in my mind. I have some objectives, but we have to see how we're going to get there. So, I mean, it's not a surprise. I mean, the elitists in government, most of whom are Democrats, some of whom are Republicans, have really shown their hand since Trump came on the scene. And, I mean, the one thing I would say for sure is that I've noticed in the last couple of years, especially since I've been writing about inflation, I've noticed that I've had a few people in the last few years tell me, No, don't call it Obamacare. It's called the Affordable Care Act. So clearly there's people who understand that the numbers will eventually become too large to avoid or to bury, and I think they're trying to make some distance from the progenitor of this particular program.
And now we are faced with a situation. We all know what's going on at the southern border, and this administration has now made the Affordable Care Act illegals actually eligible in many respects, depending on the category that they fall in, eligible for the ACA, which makes this even go up even more.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thought process is involves two points, and I can make a prediction for you over time. The thought is that first of all, it offers sort of an alluring, benefit, similar to the hotels and the trying to find jobs and all that. I think it's something they think will welcome people, to the country. And also, I think that there's an economic, I believe they think there's an economic benefit because the more people you bring in, the more you can spread cost over everyone. However, I would make a prediction now. I don't know how I can prove this or anything, but what I know is that in some immigrant communities and some nationalized migrant communities, those who are citizens, people go back home for medical care. They go back to, say, the Dominican Republic or other places. I would not be surprised if a generation from now, many of the people who came here, whether they've been nationalized or they have kids or whatever, who become citizens, are doing that as well. Because, I mean, there's only one direction, and that's downward, for as long as this becomes a government-dominated program. It's an unfortunate but unavoidable fact of life. The cost will rise, services will decrease, and eventually people will forego this care until they really have no other options.
Yeah, I mean, the folks that I talk to, they'll stay here for complex surgeries, but stuff other than that, they go back home because they said it's cheaper. It's a lot cheaper. Even without insurance, it's more affordable for them to go back home and have it done than it is to have it here in the United States.
Yep. There's definitely a case. I mean, especially dental care.
Yeah.
I know of a lot of Americans now who are going to places like the Philippines or Central America to get dental care done for cash.
Yeah. Interesting paradigm. Dr. Peter Earle, thank you so much for joining us. Senior economist at the American Institute for Economic Research. Truly appreciate your time, your insight. Have a great week.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Interesting thoughts. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.